You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A new production of George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession opened this week at the American Airlines Theater on 42nd Street. There'll be no censorship problems during this run, but when it was first staged in 1893, it was promptly banned by Britain's official theater censor, Lord Chamberlain, and didn't receive its real premiere until 1902. This roundabout theater company revival is directed by Doug Hughes, and it stars Sally Hawkins, Edward Hibbert, and the wonderful Cherry Jones as Mrs. Warren, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome both Doug Hughes and Cherry Jones to the show. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Is this something of a reunion for you? Didn't you work together in Doubt several seasons back?
This is our third experiment together as a director and actress. We did Flesh and Blood with a wonderful cast down at the New York Theater Work.
New York Theater Workshop.
Thank you. I was calling
in 04, but wonderful novel of Michael Cunningham's that was adapted mm-hmm. for the stage. And then just about a year after that, I asked Cherry if she'd like to play Sister Aloysius in Doubt. And it's been a while that way.
Well, so this is the same sort of thing we see often in movies, where directors tend to go to the same actors because they trust them.
They trust them.
Well,
they admire
them.
Know that a wonderful performance will be the result. It really is moving to me to think that I have such a relationship in my life professionally and personally.
Me. Yeah. We're about the same age, so we're hoping we'll be able to have the same lasting power
we'll
together.
We'll dodder off into the sunset together.
Well, Cherry, in Doubt, you played a nun, but here you have a very different occupation.
Old nun to old whore.
Well, interestingly, absent from the script is the word prostitution.
Yes, but...
You think Shaw purposely left it out?
He
most certainly did.
He never would have gotten it, you know, produced if he'd put that word in.
But I think also there was something about...
There's no doubt as to
there's
what
no
she's
doubt.
Done.
I think that's one of the masterstrokes of the play. It was Shaw's third play, and I continue to be astonished about how deftly it's constructed. There's a great moment in the fourth act where Mrs. Warren's daughter, Vivi, writes the words that describe her on a slip of paper and passes it to the two gentlemen in the room with her. And we have it on good authority. Shaw's great colleague, Ellen Terry, said that he confided in her that the two words were prostitute and procuress.
Mm-hmm.
And
they didn't use the word madam in those days.
I doubt they did use the word madam in those days.
But, of course, Shaw was writing for young Vivi, who had just graduated from Newnham, from Cambridge. So prostitute and procurist seemed just perfect for Vivi's mind.
Because to some degree this is about class. She, as an educated young woman, is of a different class than her mother.
Yes. She's become the enemy. She's the Frankenstein Mrs. Warren has created, at least in Mrs. Warren's mind.
Shaw prefaced the text of the play with a 30-page apology, which is really an essay on its shock value and on censorship. It doesn't seem shocking today, does it?
The play is brutally honest. I think it's a great candidate for revival these days, or Cherry and I wouldn't have done it. But the play, at its basis, is not really about prostitution. It's about hypocrisy. It's about the human requirement of telling secrets and telling lies to make life seem like a nicer, more orderly, more respectable business than it actually is.
Don't you think it's also a critique on capitalism?
God knows it is. I mean, Shaw was a socialist, and the getting of a living in a capitalist society and the ruthless practices that are required for livings to be gotten were an obsession of his.
And that we're all complicit.
Well, in fact, Mrs. Warren's business partner brags that he's receiving a 35% return on his investment.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
In the worst of times, he says.
He's a wonderful character, too, isn't he?
Crofts is a great character, and he utters what I think is a key line in the play. Shaw often gives his darker figures brilliant things to say, and Crofts says, there are no secrets better kept than the secrets everybody guesses.
Well, I found him rather attractive, actually, as a character. I guess he's supposed to be a villain of sorts, but he's...
Well, I don't think there are villains in the play. I think that is the mark of great drama. It's an impossible situation. What did Jean Renoir say in Rules of the Game? Everybody has their reasons. And Shaw was the type of genius who can make everybody's reasons very, very clear. It's the sort of play... Jerry and I have often said to each other that where you tend to agree with whoever has spoken last.
Once the play was banned in England, Shaw wrote that London's theatre critics and press would only tolerate prostitution on the stage if the prostitute, quote, dies of consumption to the sympathetic tears of the whole audience or steps into the room to commit suicide or at least to be turned out by their protectors and passed on to be redeemed. Well, Jerry, your character... is never forced to apologize for what she's done.
No, and it's interesting. Doug chose to, I think oftentimes productions of Mrs. Warren allow Mrs. Warren to be faux posh. And Doug said, I want our Mrs. Warren to be of and from the street from the get-go. You see that she's polished herself a bit and knows how to use it, but the core of the woman is she is from the gutter. And so that Shaw says that when she gets, you know, horribly riled, that she goes back to her original dialect, but she's never that far from it. It just becomes more intense. And it was a wonderful thing to do because she is proud of who she is, and she does work on the continent. She doesn't work in England, so she's not bound by the same class structure. That's part of the reason why she went to the continent.
Well, watching your performance, I couldn't help but think of Mae West a couple of times, a rather restrained Mae West. But, you know, I remember that not all that long after this, she produced a play called Sex, which caused a major scandal on Broadway.
So it did. So it did. And I think that Mrs. Warren's strength arises from her identity. It just seemed to me that her use of her sexuality is very, very present in the play. And her pride in where she started and where she's gotten is a great source of strength for her.
And everyone's description of her, you know, that she's rowdy, that she's not to be trifled with when she's angry, that, and Mrs. Warren herself says that I've always been a bit of a vulgarian, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a fun way to go.
Well, she does dress rather well. And I was wondering about those costumes because actors have told me at times that the costume has an effect on the way they play a character, or it affects how they feel about themselves when they play a character.
Well, it was funny because in the costume fitting, Kathy Zuber, and all of these costumes are so gorgeous and sexy and extravagant, but not too extravagant. And at one point, Kathy came at me with that first costume with a little white boa that she was going to put around all of the trim and around my sleeves. And I said, oh, no, it's perfect just like this because it was so classy looking. And I like to pretend that Mrs. Warren has someone back in Brussels named Antoine who dresses her.
And this is just following stage directions or the preface because Shaw said the prostitute, he called her the prostitute mm-hmm. here, although... She's not a prostitute. She's a madam. She may have been
once.
She rose in the ranks.
He said the prostitute had to be beautiful, exquisitely dressed, and sumptuously dressed and fed. So that explains these costumes. She has taste, actually.
She does have taste. And if she doesn't, she knows who to pay who does have taste.
Well, and she has taste because taste is required for her to do business and get a 35% return.
Well, thinking about those costumes, so when you were wearing The Habit in Doubt or business suits in 24, did you feel like a nun? Did you feel presidential?
I did, but when I had my first costume fitting for this one, I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I was out of those nun costumes and those very grim suits. No, I did feel like a nun. I loved dressing myself every night for Sister Aloysius, right down to the fact that I had an athletic band around my glasses because I didn't want Aloysius to ever fiddle with anything. And I just wanted her to be sort of this monolith. And my glasses were so tight to my head at all times, and in that habit, they would fog up so terribly that I had to start using divers liquid to keep them from fogging up. But I loved putting that cross and the rosary and the lacing the boots. It was a wonderful ritual every night. I adored that costume. And there was a surprising amount of freedom in that costume.
So putting on the costume is also a way of preparing for a role?
It is. And especially for a period play, it's a very sensual process because there's a lot to it. And then finally you get to the corset. And you have to have a great deal of help with period costumes. So then you've got your lady servant, Kathy Klein in my case, at the roundabout. And it's really a beautiful process.
And I'd imagine the set also affects a performance. You've chosen to have a rather realistic set here.
Yes, I have. I mean, it's intensified realism, I guess you'd say. It's in forced perspective, and it's a little hyper vivid. But we moved the show into the 20th century, about 1909, the era maybe of Howard's End or thereabouts. And
rather than when Queen rather Victoria than the, was still
I just,
on the
I just
throne.
Began to find that, you know, the Victorians are always the people who take a rap for hypocrisy. And since hypocrisy seems to be a staple of human life, I just preferred the line of the clothes. I was more interested in certain aesthetic movements that took hold. And the idea that Vivi, Mrs. Warren's daughter, is, as she's referred to, a modern young lady, ideas of modernism and what the century ahead was to hold.
Shaw wrote, all attractive, unpropertied women lose money by being infallibly virtuous. Is that Vivi Warren's
face? It's a
face?
Perfect Shavian statement in that it puts an inconvenient truth. I wouldn't say that that's quite the case.
Well, she is his heroine.
Invariably. But Vivi does what she does at a cost and has played exquisitely by Sally Hawkins. I think that cost is very clear.
Well, would we see that differently than somebody would have seen it in, what was it, 1905, I said, when it was first really staged, 1902? 1905 in New York.
In New York City, where it was shut down almost immediately. It was a mob scene, of course, because the prurient came out in droves. But I think the play remains. We haven't spoken about the level of the play that functions as a mother-daughter tale, setting aside questions of capitalism and the societal issues, which deeply interest us all at Mrs. Warren. But it's also a supersonic version of parental struggles. I mean, I think all of us as children have heard parents tell us what they sacrificed for us, what they gave up for us, what cost the rearing of their children took. And at that level, I think it's a pretty primal tale.
And Mrs. Warren here wants to reunite with her daughter. She feels that she has made all these sacrifices. Her daughter should understand her. And that's pretty much the conflict in the play.
Well, when Doug and I were first talking about Mrs. Warren, I said, I'm not sure this woman has an altruistic bone in her body. I think this child really is an investment for her dotage, a really good investment for her dotage.
Because she sent her to the best schools and she's going to become a lawyer? Yeah. Or what is she, she's
well, she
some professional.
She wants to study law, but women were not really allowed to practice law. And Vivi is somebody who's taken a degree, completed an education at Newnham College without a degree. No degrees were granted by Newnham College. But Vivi says she's going to take a job in an accounting firm, and under the cover of that, study law. She aspires to the day when she'd be able to practice.
With an eye on the stock market all the time,
yes,
she says.
She's quite the capitalist.
You give investment advice. Yeah. My guests are Terry Jones, starring along with Sally Hawkins, Adam Driver, Mark Haralick, Edward Hibbert, and Michael Sibbery in a new production from the Roundabout Theater Company of George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession. And also with us is Doug Hughes, the wonderful director who has directed this production. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with our discussion of a new production of George Bernard Shaw's classic play, Mrs. Warren's Profession, now at the American Airlines Theater on West 42nd Street. Interesting. I think it was once a porn movie house, so I guess it's perhaps appropriate. with us is the director, Doug Hughes, and Cherry Jones, who stars as Mrs. Warren in a production that also features Sally Hawkins, Adam Driver, Mark Haralick, Edward Hibbert, and Michael Sibbery. And in a piece in the current playbill that's handed out with almost every show around town. You were interviewed, Cherry, and you said that you once walked out on a production of Mrs. Warren from boredom. Was that a concern when you began working on this production?
May I first tell you how sorry I am I ever said that?
Well, yeah, I'm sure people have been asking you about it ever since.
Oh, boy, have they.
You're too honest. That's your problem.
I am.
Well, this could be a problematic play.
It is. It can be. But it's, you know, I had remembered that I had not been engaged in that last production many, many, many years ago. And when Doug sent me the script, I sort of put off reading it, and then I picked it up, and I was four pages in, and I was completely hooked. Because the language is so rich and so witty and so true and naturalistic, but broad. And I mean, he goes from broad comedy to practically Greek tragedy in its size, all in four little short acts. And it was not what I had remembered.
But I would have thought you would be amenable to appearing in a production of a short play. You've been in a couple of others, Major Barbara.
Well, I've been in Major Barbara twice. Uh-huh. I just keep doing Major Barbara.
But, well, certain actors appear to be well-suited for different playwright styles. There are the Albee actors, and there are the Mamet actors. Is there something that you do? There are Chekhov actors. Do you connect with Shaw?
I don't feel worthy of Shaw because I don't feel facile enough for Shaw. I listen to someone like Dana Ivey, who played the mama in Major Barbara. What's her name? Lady Britomart. And listening to Dana every night on the monitor from my dressing room, it was like listening to someone play Mozart exquisitely.
She says wonderful things about your performance as well, Terry.
Yes, she's very fond of you. I think that's my cue to jump in right here and say that Cherry Jones is well able to play the notes that Shaw wrote.
But I wonder about different playwrights with different actors. Do you think that does work?
I think there
work?
Are people, certainly. I think that that people have a knack for the imagination and the rhetoric and the cadences of a writer. I think Cherry and I are kind of polymaths. Part of the fun for us, I think, is a kind of food from many lands approach. I think that's one of the joys of working in the theater is you get to travel.
Well, Shaw was very specific with his line reads and stage directions. Do you feel obliged to follow all of them?
I don't feel obliged. But I'm respectful of them. You know, Shaw was a novelist. And those three early plays were not really produced very much, Mrs. Warren, for obvious reasons. And he wrote in an era when people still really read plays as literature. And I think that the density of those stage directions has something to do with that fact. But they were always helpful. Sometimes we observe them in the breach. Sometimes we observe them to the letter.
And I have to say, in those final big speeches in Act Four, where it becomes so volcanic, before each one of my speeches, over one speech it says violently, over the next speech it says wildly, and over the next speech it says screaming. And, you know, hallelujah again. It's just so fabulous to have
that freedom.
Yeah, because he wants it primal. He wants it primal.
But still, he wrote this to be read as text, and that can work, as we're seeing with this new production of Gatsby.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work. They're often something that looks wonderful on the page sounds terrible when you're speaking it aloud.
Mm-hmm.
So does that present a problem for you at all?
Well, not with Shaw. I don't because there's something so naturalistic about his dialogue, and it's a you know, you have to think it quickly and speak it quickly and move it forward at all times. It's almost like Shakespeare in that you've got to complete the thought.
And you play the paragraph. You assemble the thought. And I think the joy of it for actors is that you've suddenly become there's that tiny little bit of the Superman or Superwoman fantastically expressive in the moment. Shaw's character are not people – not Shaw's characters are not people who get out on the landing and say, I wish I'd said that. They say it on stage.
While Mrs. Warren's Profession brings up the church in the discussion of the sex industry, it doesn't mention its relationship with the law. Do you have any idea why he left something as important as that out?
You know, though, there is that beautiful speech that our exquisite Miss Sally Hawkins gives as Vivi in Act Three, when she has that gorgeous scene with Crofts, and she says, when I think of the laws that protect you, when I think of the way society protects you, when I think of the it doesn't go into the law, but at least there's that one moment when she is exposing the way that the laws are written to protect the rich and the mighty.
And she could just as easily have delivered that speech to her mother because she's very judgmental. She's very aware of the fact that prostitution involves somebody taking advantage of somebody else. Do you see this as a feminist play as well?
It's a play about the phenomenon of exploitation and the exploitation of women. But I'd say
and the new woman who Vivi is
somebody who is departing from that. You know, yes, Vivi has all the traits of the so-called new woman of her era. She smokes. She rides a bicycle. She takes a profession. All of those things, I think, are kind of to use the Hitchcock term, the MacGuffin in the play. I think the play is about the human requirement of secrets and lies, the human requirement of hypocrisy, the fact that there is so much we avert our eyes from that is exploitative, that is corrupt, and that we all participate in.
Does it feel good to be back on the stage? You took a bit of a break while you were working on 24. I'd imagine that that's the sort of thing that actually allows you to indulge in working in theater.
It is. I am so happy to be home. I was away from New York for 4 years. After we closed Doubt, and I did a play called Faith Healer, and then we went on tour with Doubt for 10 months all over the country. And then after that, I got 24, and my folks were in declining health, and 24 allowed me to be in Tennessee a great deal. Because television's so much easier than theater.
Whenever I ask actors, what do you prefer, movies, television, or theater, they always say, well, they all are quite wonderful in their own way.
You see what I mean about hypocrisy. Yeah.
But I think everybody who started in theater prefers theater, partly because you're getting that feedback from the audience.
That's right. And, you know, I was talking to a young actor, wonderful young theater actor who's going out to Los Angeles for the first time. And he said, do you get any respect at all as a theater actor out there. And I said, you cannot believe how theater actors are treated in Los Angeles. Because they know you're going to show up on time, they know you're going to know your lines, and they know you're going to hang up your own clothes. They love us.
In his preface, Shaw wrote about jaded critics. What a triumph for the actor thus to reduce a jaded London journalist to shout execrations at Iago and warnings to Othello not to believe him. So has has any audience, Sherry, ever shouted an execration at you?
Well, no, but very interesting. The other day when I said, oh, the hypocrisy of the world makes me sick, as Mrs. Warren, some lone audience member from the back of the house clapped as loudly as I've ever heard into any individual clap in my life.
Well, during Doubt, where people were divided as to whether you were right or whether the Brianna Byrne character was right, and they argued all the way out of the theater, there must have been some people who were furious with you.
Well, my favorite comment was, as the lights came down after Doubt, I have such doubt, or however Charles Bush does it, a woman on the front row said, and I could hear her loudly, she said, "May she burn in hell."
Well, Kiefer Sutherland got all of the criticism for the torture on 24. You were just the president. And not even the vice president, so we forgive you.
Thank you.
Plausible deniability.
I want to thank the both of you so much for being with us. Sherry Jones, thank you for coming back. Doug, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Great pleasure, Larry.
Doug Hughes, director of this new production of George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession at the American Airlines Theater. And we have all sorts of information about tickets and stuff on our show page at WNYC.org. Cherry Jones stars along with Sally Hawkins, Adam Driver, Mark Haralick, Edward Hibbert, and Michael Sibbery. It's been a real pleasure.
Hope to see you again
soon. For us
soon.
As well. Thank you.